Kerrang Radio's late night talk show the night before. Hello, my name's Nick Majerison. Thanks for being where you are listening to the radio. Now then, let's get someone on the airwaves who is a friend of the show. We've had him on in the past. And his name is Tom Montauk. His website is montauk.net. That's M-O-N-T-A-L-K, montauk.net. You can log on to there, find out more about him. Let's get him on the air. Tom Montauk, how's it going?
Hi, it's going great. Thanks for having me on.
So, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to you now about extraterrestrials and the differences between kind of the good extraterrestrials and the bad extraterrestrials. You're an expert in your field of aliens. What are you going to tell us?
Well, I'm going to go over the basic situation of what I believe the different types of alien groups that are here on Earth today, and what some of their different intentions are, and hopefully how we can distinguish between them if they ever decide to show themselves to the world.
Right, okay, so how many alien beings are currently living on this planet?
Oh, you know, I've heard different values on that. It tends to range anywhere from, let's say, 2 million to, it depends. I mean, if they're living underground, who knows how many levels underground they could be existing in, so it's very difficult to tell.
So is it possible that there are alien beings living actually in caverns underground?
Yeah. Actually, there's been people who, abductees, who claim they've been taken by aliens, and some of them claim they've been taken to underground bases. So we do know, based on their reports, that yes, aliens do live in bases underground or inside mountains, for instance.
Okay, so what you're saying is that sometimes when people are abducted, it might not be the case that they're being taken off to some far-flung space station, but actually they might be being flown underground.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's easier hiding something underground than trying to keep it aloft in orbit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, Gorman, about 2 million alien beings possibly on this planet.
At least, yes.
How would we distinguish which ones are the, I hate to put it like this, but the goodies and the baddies?
Well, I think the best way to start with that would be to look over just the basic situation, okay? The basic situation is humans are simply not alone in the universe. So aliens exist, and as far as I can tell, they are here on Earth right now. And there are many, many different types with different agendas, and they don't all seem to get along with each other.
Right.
But the one thing that they all seem to be obeying so far is the directive that they simply cannot reveal themselves to the world and mess up everything, you know, as far as our social structure and our economic structure goes.
So what you're saying then, Tom, is you're saying there is potentially 2 million alien life forms on this planet, and they're not all the same type of alien, and they don't seem to get along with each other, the different types. There's sort of interspecies conflict.
Yes, yeah, it's a conflict, but it's more like a Cold War. Because, the Cold War between the U.S. and Russia, there wasn't any actual real all-out major war, but it was a very tight state of tense balance between them. You know, there's a lot of tension going on. So the case seems to be the same with the different alien factions in that they can't just recklessly battle each other and, you know, have UFO pieces raining down over cities and all that crazy kind of stuff. So they have to be very low down about their conflicts. And what that does is it sets up a very similar Cold War situation where they have to work within certain restrictions, very careful restrictions about being covert about things.
So they're sort of being unpleasant in diplomatic situations.
Yeah. And they can work only, it seems to be that they can only work with humans on a individual or secret basis.
Well, I was just going to come on to that, because if you're telling us 2 million alien life forms on this planet, do any of the governments know about this? Because that's a lot to keep quiet.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, I think as far as like the 2 million goes, you can divide them up into the different alien types. And there are four types that, at least in the research literature, keep coming up again and again and again. Now, I've talked about these in the latest article on my website, which is all about the subject we're talking about now. The four types, as far as I can tell, that seem to be the most common are the Greys, which we're mostly familiar with. They're those little short guys with the big heads and the black eyes.
Yeah, the Greys, for anyone who's not sure now, the Greys, I do know that you're talking about the classic alien there.
Yes.
And do you know what? I think most people in the UK might know what I'm talking about. When I say there was quite a famous poster of a Grey smoking a big fat joint that was quite popular in the UK. That is the alien we're talking about, but they're not known to use cannabis.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah.
Are they goodies or baddies?
It seems that they're more in the neutral category. They're more like organic biological robots. In other words, they do whatever they're programmed to do. So rather than having their own individual agenda, it seems they're more like instruments or proxies for some other alien group. So it depends on who's using them.
Right, so they're like almost like ants.
Yeah, I guess so.
they do as they're told and they're following the queen.
Yeah, I mean, there's different types of greys, of course. There's just really short robotic types, and then there's taller ones who seem to be a little bit more sentient. But overall, their characteristic trait is that they're very much like servants, and they're extremely psychic, but overall they seem to be kind of like organic robots, at least in my book.
How strange. Okay, so they're not... Well, they're neither good or bad. It just depends who's in control of them.
Right, exactly. So that's one type. The other types, which I think you guys are probably familiar with, thanks to David Icke, are the reptilians.
Right, yeah, the shape-shifting lizards.
Yeah, reptilians. And I personally don't believe that they're shape-shifting, but I do think that they can psychically influence people, even
so
people.
What would one of those look like?
Oh, there's different types. Essentially, they look like upright alligators. So imagine if you were to cross an alligator with a human being. So, you know, an alligator stands on two legs, and he's got two dexterous arms, and, you know, sort of a face with a snout, and big eyes with vertical pupils. So that seems to be the most common description based on people who've personally seen him.
Right, and that doesn't include you?
When I was a kid, that's a whole other show, but yeah, I did see some strange things as a kid, and I think I do have some faint memories of reptilian beings. I know I've seen a cross between a reptilian and a grey, just all these different kinds of hybrids. So I know I've seen them.
Well, the thing is now, for the reptilians, and like you say, David Icke talks about them, they, in theory, control large parts of the world by infiltrating power groups. Now, do you believe that to be true? Are the reptilians, are they the leaders of the world?
Well, here's what I know. I know that from abduction accounts, those same people that I mentioned earlier who have been taken to underground bases, they've seen aliens and human military personnel working side by side in a lot of these bases.
So are we talking reptilians and military or greys and reptilians and military?
Yeah, I mean, which makes sense because the military is interested in acquiring new technologies and, you know, any advantages over their adversaries. And if that includes making alliances with certain alien groups that can give them that tactical advantage, then they're going to do it. So reptilians and greys are the ones that are most likely to do that sort of a deal because, you know, they're quite cunning, and I think in the end they're planning on using the human military for their own purposes. So it's kind of a game that they're playing like that.
So we wouldn't class them as goodies?
I wouldn't rule out the possibility of positive reptilians, but I think positive ones are probably in the minority, and they would really try to keep a low profile.
Gotcha. So what else do we know? What are the
times? Yeah, okay, well, there's just two more. Another common one, well, actually, they're not too common, but they've been seen, are these beings. They look like praying mantises, but they're about the size of humans, you know, but taller. So they're very insectoid, in a way.
Weird.
Yeah.
I've never heard of them before.
Yeah, they're not too popular, but they tend to be seen alongside greys and reptilians, so it seems to be part of the same little faction working together.
Okay, yeah, so these are all quite demonic, aren't they? What else have we got?
Okay, well, and of course, the other group that's pretty common are the Nordics, which I mentioned the last time I was on. The Nordics, they're the ones that actually look a lot like us. You know, they could be walking around in the streets, and we most likely wouldn't recognize them.
Are these the ones that are supposed to be kind of like tall, good-looking, blonde hair?
Yeah, I mean, they could be walking around in Sweden, and no one would think any different, right?
Right, I see. So they kind of look, like you say, Swedish, I guess. They fit into that Aryan mold, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, there are some that seem to have dark hair. One of their characteristics is that their eyes tend to be a little bit larger than those of regular humans. But then again, there are also people around. That, you know, we can look around every day and we see people with quite large eyes. So, you know, once again, it's hard to tell who they are.
Now, the Nordics, are they goodies or baddies?
It seems to me that they're about split 50-50 into different factions, and some of them are more positive and some more negative.
Because the thing is, not having encountered any of these, I kind of think that the Nordics sound a little bit like sort of, you know, the sport, the people who were good at sport at school, the people that I don't like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's me inflicting my earthly prejudices, but they're kind of the irritating guy that was good at rugby, in my mind, right?
Well,
whenever anyone describes them.
Yeah, well, the negative Nordics, they're almost like... I mean, okay, imagine if the Nazis had taken over Earth, and this is in the far distant future, and they, you know, they Aryanized the entire Earth, and then they sent back time travelers into the past who were these perfected Nazi super beings. that's what the negative Nordics are sort of like.
Yeah.
Just to draw an analogy.
And that's what I'm always picturing. I'm always thinking bloody Adolf people and, you know, stupid Germans wandering around bombing my home city. I always imagine someone who would be good at sport and who I wouldn't have got along with at school.
Yeah, the Nordics are both types. They seem to be advanced enough that they've kind of taken control of their own genetics through genetic engineering and enhancements and so on.
Yeah.
It would only be natural that they would have better physiques than the average human who just kind of intermarries and breeds at random.
So of these four groups that you're saying, your estimate, at least 2 million alien beings living on this planet.
Yeah, at least.
Divided up into these four different species. And what is their, I mean, so they don't all collectively get on, but the Greys and the Reptilians seem to have an alliance going on. The governments of the world, are they all conscious of this extraterrestrial presence on this planet?
I'm not sure. I don't think like some of the smaller third world countries are, because they don't need to be, you see. Negative aliens, the way that they work, they tend to use cunning and deception and strategy and infiltration. And the only places that they would really target are the major power centers of Earth.
Right.
So, you know, places like America and UK and, you know, Israel, Russia, those kinds of places.
Yeah.
They would probably try to work their way into.
So, for example, Vladimir Putin, he's the big man in Russia. Would he be aware of the extraterrestrial presence on this planet?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I mean, of course, I can't confirm that. I never talked to the guy, but
maybe we'll give him a call and check.
Yeah, right.
Actually, best not. He's a bit of a spicy character. So we'll leave him alone. But yeah, I guess someone like that would be informed. Whereas, you know, what about someone who was maybe not as far down the road in politics? You know, someone like the local MP, you know, our local MP or something like that. They, I'm guessing, wouldn't be let in on this kind of information.
No, I mean, of course not really.
Do you see what I'm saying? This cover-up works. So you're saying that there's about 2 million entities. So is it possible, you're saying, that some people who are listening to us talking now, they may have bumped into an extraterrestrial, a Nordic or whatever, and not realised that it was an extraterrestrial being? Could it be possible that you'd bump into them in a cafe and have no idea?
Right. If they have an interest in you for some reason, they might have a short conversation with you or just kind of hang out, and you wouldn't realize it. Especially if you're not aware that they even exist.
Yeah.
You know?
You see, this is a strange thing for me, Tom. I believe that we've been visited and contact's ongoing, but I'm not quite sure which version of events I necessarily go along with. So, for something like this, I would not be looking out for it, right? So, you know, I could quite easily have met... They could have even come along and, you know, one of my public appearances or something, shaking my hand, got my autograph, and bugged off. I would never know, do you know what I mean?
You know, I heard that happens, like UFO conventions and any place that's sort of interesting to hang out in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really? So you're saying that these extraterrestrials take an interest in the UFO community?
Yeah, I think just to kind of keep up on what the humans are thinking about them. And
that's very strange. So when do you think that this kind of information is going to come out to the public?
That's the thing. I don't think we really have to worry about aliens coming to conventions or hanging out in cafes or something. I think the big problem is what happens when they reveal themselves to the world as a whole. How do we know what their intentions are? See, that's a problem, and I think very likely it's going to happen in less than 10 years, the way things are going right now.
So you're expecting at least within 10 years, the stuff that people are listening to now that we're talking about, and most of them will be thinking, this is crazy talk.
Yeah, it seems kind of crazy, but you might have noticed...
You're saying in 10 years, people listening thinking that will know that we were just ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I'm placing my bets on that, and it's happening in gradual stages. Like last year, you already had Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, on in July of 2008. And he himself admitted or confirmed his opinion that aliens are real and that they're here.
The Vatican announcement as well.
Yeah.
The Vatican announcing that belief in extraterrestrials doesn't compromise your Catholicism. So you're saying that and other things, I mean, anyone who looks into this will see that the amount of coverage that this kind of stuff is getting is increasing all the time.
Yeah, it's increasing. And don't forget, England also released its, some of its secret UFO archives, and France it has as well, and I think possibly Belgium and Canada
That's right. And the plans are to continue releasing that information in the run-up to 2012. That's the official plan. So are you thinking that maybe this is going to come in a controlled announcement from the government on this planet? They will finally start, you know, saying, okay, yeah, there's truth in this and here is what it is. Or do you think it will be the extraterrestrials themselves that will take matters into their own hands and, you know, land on the White House lawn?
So far, I think it'll be a combination of both, because at some level, a lot of them appear to be working together. So I think there's a concerted agenda between both of them to reveal the presence of aliens to humanity at large.
And who's pushing that initiative, do you think?
I don't know their names, but I do know that it's a huge, huge effort working at from multiple angles. Okay, you've got UFO sightings on the increase. You've got, I think in the coming years, you're going to see more and more contactees, which are people that have been contacted by aliens, coming out and kind of presenting their case. And that's going to converge with more government insiders coming out and saying, yes, you know, I've been working on this project and aliens are real and here's what I've seen. And it's all going to come to a head until eventually the final point would be either, like you said, either aliens showing up, taking matters into their own hands, or seeming to take matters into their own hands, or the government making an admission.
And which version of events should we be suspicious of? So if the announcement comes that, yes, aliens are here, and they're all evil, apart from the insect-type ones, they're amazing, and we should do as they say, right? You know, should we be... Do you understand what I'm saying? What announcement will we... What would be the truthful announcement, and what would be an announcement that's not entirely true?
Okay, well, I mean, one example of one you really got to watch out for is, let's say, the government comes on, you know, some representative, President Obama or Brown or someone, comes on television and he says, okay, aliens are real, but there's nothing to worry about. There's no negative ones. You know, we've only been working with the positive ones, and they're here to kind of lead us into the next phase of our evolution.
Yeah.
You know, that totally contradicts all these different abduction reports and lots of good research from good people who have figured out that, you know, not all aliens are up to good. I mean, for example, all the people that have ever claimed to have talked to Greys during abductions, they ask the Greys, you know, why are you here? And all these different alien types and, you know, even Greys themselves seem to tell a different story to every single different person, customized and tailored to their weaknesses and their, you know, ignorance. So, you know, if they're all sincere, then how come they're all lying, right?
Right. So what you're saying is contactees are reporting different reasons and excuses for the alien presence on this planet.
Yeah, yeah. And so they can't all be telling the truth.
Yeah. And so what you're saying is, so that really disappoints me, Tom. What you're saying is, if the announcement comes and, you know, Gordon Brown is on the television saying aliens are real and they're really nice and we're all going to have lots of fun with them, if that happens, we should be concerned.
Yeah, you should be. You just don't start waving the alien banners and saying welcome, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Be a little more cautious. You know, don't go crazy, but don't fall for it right away. In other words, if Gordon Brown says, okay, well, now we all got to take a big global vote on whether we want to go along with these guys, yeah, I myself would probably vote no.
Yeah, you'd vote against it. So, I mean, when we talk about that, though, I mean, if it were the case that we were to be drawn into conflict with any or all of these alien species, we'd get wiped out, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would if it were a violent conflict. But so far, that hasn't happened, and I think it's for a reason, which is that these aliens stand to lose if it came down to violence. For instance, if it really were a war between humans and aliens, I think the military would try their best to detonate as many nuclear bombs as possible, you know, as a last-ditch effort to maybe ruin Earth for aliens. I don't know. But either way, it would destroy the very thing that aliens want. So I think they'll try to do things as non-violently as possible.
So what you're saying is we'd end up like desperate Iraqis setting fire to oil fields.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. That's a good metaphor.
Because we've been completely outmatched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it reminds me, I went to a fascinating display only recently that you would have probably been interested in. And it was about civilizations in Mexico when they were encountered by explorers. And, you know, that clash of civilizations where one civilization, the Spanish explorers, had more military might on their hand just because they had better weapons. And as I was looking at this thing, I thought that's so similar to what could be going on with the extraterrestrial thing. in that if, you know, if we encounter a civilization that's massively militarily superior to us, what do we do? We're just going to have to go along with them, aren't we?
Not necessarily. Well, let's look at the Spaniard situation. When the Spanish came over to Central America, you know, they met the Aztecs, and the one reason why they didn't encounter more resistance is because initially the Aztecs were kind of overwhelmed by these new guys who sort of fit their prophecies about, you know, their savior returning. Okay, so their leader, Montezuma, he kind of went along with it and kind of accepted, you know, these new guys and kind of helped them out initially, opened the door, so to speak. And that allowed the Spanish to do a lot more than they could have otherwise if they had met resistance right away.
But Tom, the parallels are staggering, aren't they? Because, as you say, and you're right, the Aztecs, they thought, oh, this fulfills our prophecy. This must be God coming along and talking to us. That's what they thought about the Spanish. It's exactly the same with us. There will be people who think that these extraterrestrials are gods. That's the way the UFO movement's been going for years now. You know, and I'm seeing all of those, you know, in that little story, I'm seeing potentially the story of planet Earth.
Yeah, so it's definitely a microcosm for what's ahead. I mean, history is always a good lesson for what's in the future.
So what do we do? Are you saying that when the aliens announce themselves, we attack?
Oh, no. Actually, see, here's the thing. They haven't attacked us so far because what they're trying to do is they're trying to get our willful allegiance to their cause. They're trying to get us to willfully go along with them and align with them. And the reason why that is because when you have all these different alien factions on Earth keeping this tense Cold War kind of balance, having humanity as a whole align with one faction, that's the one way that faction can legally take the planet over for themselves. See, if that one faction tried to take humanity by force, then that would sort of upset the balance, and then all the other groups would pounce on them, and, you know, it'd be a big, big mess.
So what you're saying is if we said, right, we're siding with the insects against the Nordics and the Greys and the Reptilians, then the insects will be legally allowed to take over our planet.
Well, see, here's the thing. In my research, it seems to me that the negative Nordics, a good portion of the Greys, the Reptilians, and, you know, some of the insect types, that they all seem to be working together on the same agenda. And one of the tricks that they're going to might possibly use is to split themselves up into fake good guy and fake bad guy to get us to try to choose one against the other. Okay, so for instance, I mean, they could send in the Reptilians as, you know, these bad guys, almost like Al-Qaeda nowadays, you know, the terrorists, trying to create them as a new enemy, and then, let's say, push the negative Nordics as the opposing good guy side. So then, you know, we choose one side falsely against the other. Which, you know, I mean, that's a pretty effective tactic. It's been used in history before.
Man, I don't know what to do. I'm just frightened now, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm just getting...
Well, no, see, here's...
I'm going to start piling tins of beans.
No.
And weapons.
No, actually, it's not too bad. And here's the reason why it's not that bad. It's because it seems to me that there are actual positive factions here as well. I mean, so far in the show, I've only talked about the negative ones. But there do seem to be positive ones as well who are here and trying to counterbalance this whole thing. And
so what are the positive ones?
Oh, the positive ones? I mean, of course, they're going to include many different kinds of species, but I think the ones that would have the most interest in helping us would possibly be the more positive Nordics. And the reason why that is because, I mean, there's a theory that some of these positive Nordics are actually future humans who time travel back in time.
Right.
And therefore, they're the ones who stand to lose the most if we fall to the wrong alien faction.
Because they will vanish in a time war.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the whole time war thing, that's another thing I'll be writing about on my site soon. And then that's the idea that you have these different alien factions from the future coming back in time, trying to change the past in order to give themselves victory in the future. It's kind of like the Terminator movies.
Yeah, this is inside out and upside down.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, so what you're saying is that we need to be wary of the government, and I've always said that, I agree with that, and you're saying that aliens, which are goodies and baddies, exist on this planet, and when the truth comes out, stick to your guns and don't go cooperating with too many people.
Well, yeah, well, we need to make the right decisions. So these aliens, the negative ones, they're not going to come, I don't think they're going to come by force and hold us by gunpoint and make us go along with them. I think they're going to use all these psychological manipulation tactics to get us to willingly vote to align with them, okay, you know, to support their cause and everything. So all we have to do is become smart enough to not make those choices. And then if we say no, you know, we realize that you're trying to deceive us, that the direction that you're trying to take humanity isn't in our best interest, and we say no to it, now the positive forces have justification and a legal right to actually defend us, because it's our collective will to resist the negative ones.
Right.
Whereas if we do the opposite and say, oh, no, you know, these positive guys, I don't know who the heck they are, but we love these aliens here, and we're going to choose collectively to go along with them, now the positive ones don't have a right to step in, because we've made the choice to align with the dark side.
So we have to be careful who we align ourselves with.
Yeah, and then all we need is, we just need knowledge. That's what we need. We need knowledge of the truth. Now, unfortunately, I don't think, if the government, or I should say the military, industrial government complex, or whatever you want to call it, if they ever admit that aliens are real, I seriously don't think they're going to give us the whole truth. I think they're going to tell as much as is convenient to their own self-interests.
Well, when it happens, Tom, you'll be one of the first people we call.
Okay, yeah, I'll be ready.
Do you know what, Tom Montauk, I like talking to you every time we get you on. You're a friend of the show. Your website, which is a fascinating glimpse into this world, is montauk.net. That's M-O-N-T-A-L-K, montauk.net. Listen, thanks for joining us on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
There we go. And hope that made sense. And, that was interesting. Like I say, I don't know what to make of all this stuff, but I am convinced, like you, the truth will be out in not long. And, you know, 10 years, yeah, I reckon that makes a lot of sense to me. It won't be very long at all, I don't think. listen, man, so I'm gonna go now. I'm going to interview someone else. So listen, man, thanks for being with us, and we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, you know what, and if you're interested, I've got a book now on my website that's all about this subject, so if you're interested, take a look.
Oh, awesome. I will. Listen, thanks for being on the show. And, I await the announcement, which, 10 years, that makes sense to me. Probably less than that. Listen, thanks for being with us, man.
Okay.
Take care, bye.